Good morning. And again, a welcome to all our guests. We thank you for being here this morning. This morning we are going to look at a text in which Jesus is in the process of giving instructions to the sending out of his disciples to go out and preach the gospel. And he also gives them some assurances. And one is they have no need to fear, which is something that even today we have a hard time with. And as we look at the words of Jesus, we will see that we are well cared for, and that through Jesus Christ, God has conquered everything that we would have need to fear. And because of this, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 24 through 39. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough that the disciple, or it is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in the light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth the father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth the son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Amen. Please be seated. There are many instructions actually before this text in this narrative where Jesus is sending out the disciples to go and preach. But the first thing that we pick up with this morning is Jesus talking to them about their relationship to him. And it says this: a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is not enough for the disciple that it is enough for the disciple that he becomes as his teacher and a slave as his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? Now notice what Jesus here tells his disciples: a servant or a slave is not above the master. Now we who have been called by Jesus Christ are called as His servants. We are now His body here on earth. And I know that all of us for the most part would say, well, yeah, Jesus is much greater than us. And yet, the church in many instances, and we as individuals in many instances, do things that Jesus did not do. In the name of Jesus. We see Jesus during His ministry being a friend to sinners, proclaiming the forgiveness of sins to people. And yet, many times we within the church look at people, make judgments on how they look, on what they wear, on what we see them doing. And we become greater than the Master in our own minds. This is not our calling. And in fact, this is sin. One of the greatest sins, because those who took God's law and made it bigger and made it more than what God had given were the very people that God or that Jesus Christ Himself had the hardest time with, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the ones who thought that they were righteous because of the way they acted. And we are not to act like that. We are to look to our example, the one who we are a disciple of, to see how we are to treat people. To show compassion. To show love. And to show mercy. Because God is satisfied with mankind. He is satisfied because of what Jesus did upon the cross. And this is the message that we are to proclaim to all people. You are forgiven. Despite the circumstances that you find in your life, despite what you face, despite even the sin that you are in, God has forgiven you and will continue to forgive you. And Jesus knew what we'd face when we brought that message. Because He faced it Himself. We would be called sons of Satan. We would be told that we were leading people down a wrong path. And Jesus told us that this is exactly what was going to happen. Because it happened to Him. Coming from Matthew 11, just in the next chapter. For John the Baptist, came eating it, neither eating nor drinking, and they say he had a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a glutton and a winebibber and a friend of sinners. Think about what Jesus is saying here. We have John who lives this monastic life, eats nothing but locusts and wild honey, and never let strong drink pass his lips. And they said, the religious people of the day, he had a devil. So Jesus comes, the Son of God, and He spends time with sinners. He doesn't have but he doesn't have this thing against eating and drinking anything, and he just lives. And so they call him a winebibber, a glutton, and a friend of sinners. This is what self-righteous people do. They lift themselves up as the perfect example, or as an example of what everybody else should be. And Jesus says that His followers would face this all the time. And then Jesus comes and tells us the familiar statement. Verse 26, "Therefore, do not fear them. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. And do not fear those who will kill the body and are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Again, we see this message. This message from Jesus Christ that seems to go throughout all of the Gospels. Do not fear. Don't be afraid of those people. Go out and show love, show compassion, and proclaim the forgiveness of sins just as Jesus Christ did. Just as He explained to His disciples, sometimes in secret and sometimes within His servants, their sermons. Proclaim it to everybody, regardless of their creed, regardless of their color, regardless of their race, regardless of how they dress or what they do. And the self-righteous who are serving themselves, God will reveal that in the end. We have no need to fear those folks. They can do nothing to us. And you come down to this thing, what can they do to us? Basically do the same thing that they did to Jesus Christ. Kill us. And we have no fear of that. Paul himself says, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." If we die, it's the best thing that happens. And we will be ridiculed. We will be persecuted for the proclamation of the gospel. There is no doubts about that. But whom should we fear? And as I was reading through this text this week, and especially yesterday evening, this really came to me. "But rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." This is not Satan. If you want to know who to fear or who to respect, it is God. It is Jesus Christ Himself. It is Him. Not that He wants to do these things. In fact, that's the exact opposite. But He's the only one that has the power to do them. And so if you know the truth of the gospel, we really should fear if we do not bring this message forth. If we hide it among ourselves. If we cloister ourselves and we don't spread this message. Because we are called to go out and to proclaim this gospel. And not to worry about ourselves and our own welfare. And really, because he goes on to explain this in verse 29. He says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet, not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Therefore, do not fear, you are of more value than many sparrows." Birds are cheap. There's all kinds of them. They're all over the place. And God says that not one of them dies that He doesn't know about. And then He talks about how well He knows you and how much He cares for you. The very hairs of your head are numbered. He knows you that well. And He cares for you that intimately. Will He not provide for you? Jesus again calls Him our Father. And in a good, loving fatherly relationship, is there any father that does not want to care for their children? None. When you love your children, you will do anything to make sure that they are cared for. And this is really what Jesus is telling them here. He says, you're already cared for, so now do this. Verse 32, everyone who therefore shall confess me before men, I will confess before him before my Father who is in heaven. And whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Last week we saw a group of students get up and confess their faith, standing in front of this congregation. And that's easy, because there's no one here for the most part that wants to see them fail in that confession. What's hard is to go out into that world, because it isn't a friendly place. God loves it. People are redeemed out there because of what Jesus has done. But it's certainly not a friendly place. And yet that's where we're called to go out and to confess Him. To go into our workplaces. To go to our neighbor. And to spread the message of what God has done through Jesus Christ. And in doing so, Jesus says that He will not forget. Now, does He forgive the denial? Actually, He does. And we can look at Peter for this case. Peter, on the same night in which Jesus was betrayed, denied Him three times. And yet, at Jesus' resurrection, He forgave him. And then sent him out with a calling. A calling that is given not just to the pastors or the Sunday school teachers, but to each and every one of us. That we would go out and confess His name before men, telling them that they too are forgiven in His name and shed blood. And then comes the one that's really hard. Nobody really likes to deal with this one. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against a mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his household. We think of Christianity as this thing that's going to keep everybody together and perfect and nice. But actually, the message of the gospel in many cases and in many families, and some of you know firsthand better than I ever could, that the gospel and the message of Jesus Christ brings separation within families. The message of justification by faith through grace is something that will divide people forever. And the reason it will divide people is because people want a part in their salvation. And God doesn't leave our salvation up to us, because we have no ability to do it apart from Him. And so when you bring that message, people get very upset. And they get upset because they want to control behavior. But that's not what Jesus came for. Jesus came that the world would be saved through Him. The Bible, this book, is not a book of morality. This book tells us the story of what God has done for humankind from the beginning until the end. He created us. And He loved us. He loved us to the point, even knowing that we would turn away from Him and not follow Him, He still created us. It's not like it wasn't like a dry erase board. Well, I don't like that whole deal. I'll erase it out and blot it off the face. No, what He did, and we can see the history through the Israelites, is He created us. And even though we were sinful, He continued to draw us to Him. And we would walk away. And He'd allow a certain percentage to walk away, and then He'd call us back. Until in the end, He brought us His Son. And He demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. We didn't do anything to deserve it. In fact, we can never do enough to deserve it. But God loves us. Despite our morality, despite the things that we mess up on. And when you bring this message to those who are self-righteous, it will get you in trouble. But we're not to fear. We're not to worry about these things. Because what it comes down to is who do we follow? Whom do we love? And He says this in verse 7. He who loves his father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me. And he who loves his son and daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. Now this is tough. We all know how much we love our children. And we know how much we love our parents. And yet that's not to be our ultimate love. Our love, our respect, our devotion, first and foremost, is to the person of Jesus Christ. And really what Jesus is talking about through this whole text is do not fear death. And He gets down to it in the last part of our text. He who does not take up his cross and follow Me is not worthy of Me. We hear that verse all the time, and sometimes it even becomes kind of trite to us. But do we actually realize what He's asking us here, or telling us? We are to consider ourselves dead. In His day, if you were carrying a cross, you were carrying a cross to go to your death. And so really what we are doing, or are to do, is to consider ourselves already dead. But that's the hard part. Because even we want to think of ourselves as alive. But the only life that we have is lived in the person of Jesus Christ, the one who died and rose again. And Jesus goes on in this last verse and says this, "He who has found his life shall lose it. He who has lost his life for my sake shall find it." He who finds his life here and thinks of it as the ultimate goal and serves or and continues to serve himself and his selfish interests, Jesus says, will lose your life. But when we begin to serve Him, when we consider ourselves already to be dead and start to follow Him, to start to do the things that He did, feed the hungry, show compassion to the sick and hurting, bring forgiveness to the sinners, and love the people around him for his sake, we find a life. This text is all about death. Don't fear it. Because when you don't fear it, you can actually live. You can actually go out and not worry and not fear, and live your life for the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is life. In Jesus' name, amen.